Can we just pray? Yes, Lord, as we come before you this morning as your children, Lord, we have just want to adore you, Lord, as our Father. Lord, it's such a privilege, Lord, to be a child of the Most High God. And this morning, Lord, as we're going to share on that, we just ask that your Spirit, Lord, will drop that privilege, Lord, deep into our hearts. And Lord, we ask that you will touch us in the areas that we need to be touched. And we ask that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. So, you know, when Retief asked me to come and share with you this morning, the Lord gave me a very definite word. And the word was, I had to speak about discipling. But not like discipling others, how we are disciples of Jesus. That's what I had to talk about. And what do you think my first reaction was? I wanted to go to Kumbooks last Sunday afternoon to find the best book on discipling and come, because I can read books and, you know, I can come and stand here as if it is my own. But fortunately for you, I didn't do that, because you would all be half asleep or asleep within 5 minutes. So what I'm sharing with you this morning is on a much lighter note, not less serious, but much lighter. And it's actually things that the Lord has dropped in my spirit. And I've just come again under this tremendous thing of being a child of God. You know, what does it mean to follow Him? And it's a big privilege, but also a very big responsibility. And the first four statements I'm going to make is in that area. And then I'm going to give you, not a recipe, there are no recipes in the Bible, but something that helped me to be still following the Lord after 50 years, which really helped me. And I hope, I trust it will also help you. Okay, so the first thing is, you know, we are not born children of God. You know, there's a theology going around here, and I had to hear it once a year with our interfaith services at the hospital where I work, that we're all God's little children. You know what? We're not. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. What does that say? You become a child of God. You can't become something you are already. Did you know that? It's impossible. You can only become something that you're not. So, I was coming from a very good Christian family. I was chairman of the Christian society at school. And yet one day, I had to become the child of God when I was 16 years old. That's how I know it's true. You're not born a child of God. You become a child of God. Okay, that's the first one. The next is, I was so so blessed by this. I went to Shofar Rondebosch 2 weeks ago with Retief, and Tiens preached on this. And I know it very well, but it was so revealing for me, a new revelation for me. You know what God said about Jeremiah? He said, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you. You know that not one of us sitting here this morning and walking around who are children of God, who were called. He knew us before we were born. And He actually knew what He had in mind for us before we were born. This is mind-boggling stuff, but it's true. Now, does this only apply to the Old Testament? Can we have the next one? No. Because Retief shared this verse a few Sundays ago, and it just impressed me so much. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, God actually decided before we were born what He wanted us to do. And this is amazing. And I always tell people, if you are a CEO of a big company and you appoint people in your company, you have a strategy. You just don't do it haphazardly. And it's the same with God. He's got a kingdom. And He's got work to be done. And He's got Sunningdale in mind. And us are appointed for a purpose. God wants to do something through each of us, where we are, at our work, in our homes, wherever. And He's decided that before we were born. I promise you, you'll have been much earlier today for tea than usually, okay? If we go along this at this speed. Okay, the next one. But you know what? God calls us on His condition. And if this is the only message you take out this morning from this meeting, we cannot follow Jesus on our conditions. So He's laid it out for us, but He said, I have decided what you're going to do, how it should be, and we must follow Him according to His conditions. And how do I know that? Because Luke 9 tells us that Jesus came to a man and said, follow me. And the man said, what? I must first bury my father. Came to another man and said, follow me. What did he say? I must first do that. What did Jesus say? You're unfit. Unfit for the kingdom of God. What is the important word here? First. What did those two men do? They put things before God. God says, on my conditions, not on your conditions. Next one. So the third thing is, I asked a question and I said, can we miss it? Can we miss this wonderful plan that God had for our lives? And I must say this morning, very sadly, seriously, yes. Me and you can miss what God had planned for us in eternity. How do I know that? This is about from the parable Luke 14:24. It's from the parable from the feast where Jesus invited people to the banqueting hall. And the ones that were invited first didn't come. And then Jesus said these words, for none of those I invited first will get even the smallest taste of what I have prepared for them. So it's possible that you don't even taste anything of what God had in mind. So this is very serious business. So now we're going to move on to the next. And you know, you come to books, and every book, exclusive books, all these books, have books on making things easy. Have you seen that? I still haven't discovered the book that tell me how to fix a car made easy, because I can't fix anything. But, and I don't want to give you a recipe. And I'm not, ek is nou nie 'n lighartige, as I could say, nie. Following Jesus made easy. But I want to leave this with you. Jesus said, my yoke is soft. Julle ken daai deel, nê? And often we make it very difficult. So if I say Jesus once says we must make it easy, I'm on the right track, nê? I'm not out of line. But Jesus said these words in Matthew 18:3. And this was Demi's sermon this morning. And I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit, who actually confirmed to me what I'm saying this morning is what God wanted us to hear. He said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know, this is a serious word. There's three things in this word that is serious. The first is assuredly. If Jesus uses the word assuredly, he's very serious. The second is, he says, you must become a child. You are not a child. In natural, our self wants to be adult, and the Pharisee in us is very strong. Jesus said, you must become a child. Just as you had to become a child in the first place, a child of God, you must then continually become a child. And then he used these hard words. He says, if this does not happen in your life, you will by no means, enter the kingdom of heaven. Sorry that I emphasized this, but this is what struck me. And then the next word, and this is actually the next slide, please, is where Jesus is entering Jerusalem, and then he uses these well-known words. Yes, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers a brood under her wings, but you were not willing. Do you know why they were not willing? Because they were not chickens anymore. A hen cannot gather 20 big other hens and cocks under her wings. What can she gather? Only chickens. And if we want to feel the warmth of the Father's feathers over us, and his comfort and everything else that he stands for, we must become a little chicken again. Sorry, guys, girls. And you know, I'm afraid I'm going to forget this. I'm going to say this to you. My eldest son used to talk about groot Christen, you know. I still want to ask him one day. He must define it for me what is a big Christian. But the biggest Christians that impressed me in my life were the ones that were the most childlike. I can name a few of them to you, but you won't know them, so I won't go into that detail. But these were Christians who had the character of a child. And then I thought, let's just see what a child is like. So I made a list, and I think you can add 100 of other things here, but I want to leave a picture with you. You know, we prayed for 7 years for a little granddaughter. A child for my daughter. And then this little girl was born. And whenever she sees Rihanna, she goes bananas. There's no other word for that. Her eyes wants to pop out of her head, and she throws her little arms in the air, and she smiles from side to side, and she kicks with her feet and says, and she can't say Oma yet. And then when Rihanna holds her, she puts her head, and if we always say, if she could climb into Rihanna, she would have done that. You know what that is? That is how we should be when we get into the presence of our Father. Not like the Pharisees, everything correct, everything on its place. God wants that attitude towards him. And we can go through the list, zest for life. You know, my mother-in-law is not known as the most tactful person there is. Rihanna, I love her. But she one day gave me the biggest compliment I ever got. But she meant it not in a positive way, I can tell you that. You know what she said? And I'm going to say this in Afrikaans. I tried to translate it in English. It's very difficult. She said, Johan, jy is in constante verwondering. Johan, you are constantly marveling at everything. And that is why I love gardening so much, because I can walk through my garden in Stanford and I just marvel at everything I see. I marvel at the light of the you know, on the mountains, and how it changes all the time. I marvel at things coming up and things making seed. I marvel at the birds and this is just nature, but I also marvel at the word of God continually. And we must never lose that, because children have a zest for life. They're full of joy and they marvel. You like that, Nedemi? Children are honest, you know. There was a time when I used to wear grasshopper shoes 20 years ago. And I chose the color gray. I thought it fit beautifully with my hair and also my pants, you know. And then they were so comfortable, I used to buy the same type of shoe 3 times in a row, which meant a few years I was just wearing the same type of shoes. And a little girl was visiting me, and she had a serious learning problem. And one day she came in, and she just stared at my shoes. And you know what she asked? Said, Mommy, are those hospital shoes? And then the mother could, if she could, hide herself behind, you know. And of course, needless to say, that was my last pair of gray shoes. But that is how honest are we with each other? How honest are we with God? You know, we have masks, facades, and adult ways. Children are humble, they're quick to forgive, they're trusting, they are persistent, and they have no worries. But I just want to say something about the trusting. You know, my children, if I tell them, Daddy is going to buy you an ice cream tomorrow, and they love the ice creams there at Vasai Plek, anyway, I bevar my seal if tomorrow comes and I don't do it, because they will continue reminding me of that until I've bought the ice cream. You know what? That's how God wants us to be. He said we must continually remind him of things. If he's given you promises and me promises, we can be like those persistent children that just continually pester him. That's what he wants, because that's what a child is like. A child never stops. If daddy has said something, I know my daddy. I can ask again until I receive it. Yes, and the next one is children are bold. They know their father's voice. They are weak and poor. Weak and poor are positive things, because the Bible says when you're weak, you're strong. And when you're poor in spirit, that's what God wants you to be. And that's what children are like. Children, and you may not agree with the last two, are teachable and easy to please. Not always, eh? So children are wonderful. And I'm so glad that there are so many young children in this church and parents with young children. Because what I've said today, you will experience every day. By the way, I'm not talking about teenagers today. Please. And I'll tell you in a moment why I say that Jesus also wasn't talking about teenagers when he spoke about children. He spoke about little children. I'll give you a verse just now to show that he was actually talking about babies. So let's focus our minds on the young child, you know, like, say, below 3 years of age. The next one. I'm sure all of you have been listening to me said, well, you must have amazing, wonderful children, because our children are also ungrateful, demanding, loud, impatient, selfish, and naughty. Do you agree? You know, I once had a visitor from Scotland. He was a very famous professor. And I won't say which of my children were at the table. I don't want to bring them now, but I was just in front of this child. I shouldn't have done it. I just told him what a perfect little boy this child of mine was. And he was, you know. And the more I spoke, I could see the child want to shrink away, you know, and just disappear. And then this professor said, "You little angel." And, you know, of course, my son got me afterwards. And but you know what? We're not talking about little angels here. We're talking about children. And children, unfortunately, have all those qualities as well. So then I thought, how could Jesus say we must become like little children if little children have all these nasty habits? And then I was reminded of the Apostle Paul, which said you mustn't remain like children. You must become adults. You must grow up. And I thought, how on earth am I going to reconcile these two? Because I want to speak the truth, and the Bible can never contradict itself. You know how faithful the Holy Spirit is? Just look at the next verse. I read this verse in 1 Corinthians 13:11, where he says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away what things? Childish things, not childlike things. Childish. What's the difference between childlike and childish? Everything nice that I've said in the first two slides, those are childlike. That's what Jesus wants us to be like. Everything bad in the third slide is childish. These are the things we must outgrow. So, how do we become more childlike and less childish? Well, the next is God disciplines us. Just like a father disciplines a child, and I did discipline my children, I promise you, to get the childish things out of them and to help them to become more childlike. And I just want to say one thing about discipline. It's not like God punishes us. He's punished Jesus once and for all for everything. But he must discipline us. Because moving back to what I said at the beginning, God has a plan, you know, from eternity. Before we even arrived in this world, he had this plan. And when he sees us on this road and we are loitering or we are busy with other things that is not in his plan, like a good father, he must say, come on, come on, come on, I must help you to get back to where you need to be. And that is called discipline. And you know, there's certain scriptures, it's amazing that I remember from situations. Now, this scripture I'm going to read to you right now, it actually says everything. I don't have to expand on it. But I was, as a young man, I was a missionary doctor in Malawi. And I was working with an amazing man doing a lot of eye operations, helping the blind to see and so on. And then he operated a little dog in a theater one evening. And somebody that didn't like him told the authorities, and he had to leave the country within 24 hours. He had to leave after he's been there for 20 years. He had to leave, pack up, and leave within. Within the first few days after he came back, I visited him, and that evening he said he wanted to read something to us, and we'll pray together. You know, isn't that humble? This is what he read, the next part, and I said, yeah, what a heart this man, that after this happened to him, you know, he could read this. And then the outcome of that was that he always wanted to specialize in ophthalmology. He never wanted to leave the people back in Malawi, so God gave him opportunity to specialize. But this is the word, Hebrews 13, my child, you see the word child? Don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. So, the word there is love. All the discipline happens in the context of a father-child relationship and love. Nothing outside of that. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? And you know, one thing I share with Retief, and he's the first person actually that I found that attitude towards discipline. He said when something happens in his life that he can't understand at all, he sits down and he asks whether the Lord will tell him why did it happen. Now, we don't always get answers in this life, not always, but we can ask. Just like a little child disciplined by the father can, as I disciplined my children, they say you must always think before you discipline. Sometimes I did it without thinking. Later on, they came back to me and then I said, you know why daddy had to do that? And then hug them and everything is okay again. But we can ask because God is using this to correct us. So, he wants us to know why he did it, because if we don't do it again, and that we can continue with his ways and doing what he has in mind for us. Right, the next. I'll just end off, you know, with four fruits of being a child in the presence of God. And you'll see the word freedom there. Freedom, 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 freedom. You know, God wants us, the relationship with him, to be one of freedom and boldness, and all the nice things I told you that the children of the character of children. But the first thing is freedom in worship. You know, this morning I wanted to grab a flag and I wanted to run from one side to the other side just to watch your faces. You know why? It's not expected at your age, and this is your denklikne, you know, all those sort of things. Who are the first people? Who are the first ones who start waving flags and clapping hands and do lift up their arms and shout? The children. Always. The exception is one lady in our previous church who was 75. She was always the first to run with a flag and dance. But she's the exception. Look at the next slide. But when the chief priests and scribes, this is in Matthew 21:15, saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. How did they react? They were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. You cannot praise God if you're a Pharisee. It's totally impossible. And I don't want to put you under condemnation, but you know, it's wonderful to be free to praise God in freedom. If you feel like running around here, if it's by from the Spirit of God with a flag, if you want to dance, if you want to lift your hands, clap hands, if you want to shout his name, and it's from God, then you do it. Because that is what little children do. Right, can we go back to the previous slide? The next thing is freedom in testimony. You know, you don't have to force a child to tell how good his parents are for him. If daddy gave him an ice cream yesterday, bought him a tricycle, or did this or that, you don't have to say, please, will you please tell somebody what daddy did for you? They scream it out. They say whether you want to hear it or not. You hear what I'm saying? I know about people who went through so many Bible courses and so many Bible schools and so many ways of telling people, giving testimony, who've never testified. I don't say no many, but there are such people. Because they don't have the heart of children. You have to be like a child to tell, you know, yes. And then freedom in prayer. I was so excited this morning when you said about the course for prayer for young children. I want to tell you something now that may perhaps just tell you what I mean with the heart of a child. You know, the place where I worked, we had an interfaith meeting, a Thanksgiving meeting at the end of each year, with all the main four faiths on the same platform. We were, this is now the new South Africa, very democratic. And before the time, the children were told how to pray. Sorry to say this, but this is true. We all praying to one God here, people. And if you pray, please use Father or God, but not Jesus. Did you know that? I survived that. And then one day, we had the same meeting again, and everything, meeting was almost finished, and there was a little girl this big standing there. They gave her the microphone. You know what she said? Dankie, Jesus, dat jy my gezond gemaakt het. Yeah, I said, praise God. Out of the mouth of children, your glory will be told. She said that afgesmeer, wat hulle gesê het, of sê dat die bestaan, ek weet nie een van die twee. But she thanked God, she thanked Jesus that he healed her. Yeah, that's children. And then the last thing is freedom in using the spiritual gifts. How many times have you sat here, like this morning, and there was a request, has anybody got a word of knowledge? Has anybody got a this or that? And nobody responds. While there are 10 people sitting here where the Spirit is touching you and say, I want you to go to the... Just say God is good. Just say what God did for you the last week. You need to have the heart of a child to respond. You know, I recently went to a church and I was asked to pray for somebody. And I could have prayed a very nice prayer that would have sounded very correct and religious. And the Lord gave me a word for that person, which was in a way embarrassing. Because the Lord showed me actually a pawpaw. Nobody wants to be a pawpaw. That falls down, breaks in million parts, and scatters seeds, and keep bringing a great harvest. But you know, I just listened not to my Pharisee part, but to the child in me. And I said that. And I know it was from God that I said that. The other thing is healing. You know, for a doctor like me to be open for supernatural healing is something quite big. It is not common in my profession. Sorry to say that, but that is not common. And you know, the Lord had to take me along a road of becoming a child in that area to just realize that God can do the supernatural in a human body, especially when medicine has failed. And I've seen miracles. And I think God responds to that because I'm trusting Him as a child. So I was true to my word. I only have one more slide. And this is, again, the same one I started off with, but now in a different translation, in the Message translation. At the same time, the disciples came to Jesus. This is in Matthew 18. Verse 1 to 5, asking who gets the highest rank in God's kingdom. Imagine one of us come to Retief and said, Retief, who do you think is the most important person in this congregation? No? We want to know. And of course, when you ask that question, you immediately think you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't have asked it. And then Jesus called over a child whom he stood in the middle of the room, and he said, I'm telling you once and for all that unless you return to square one and start over like children, you're not even going to get a look at the kingdom, let alone get in. Whoever becomes simple and elemental again, like this child, will rank high in the kingdom of God. Thank you. That's all I want to say. This sermon was for me, first of all. And I'm going to pray for us now. I think while we close our eyes, I want us all to close our eyes, and while we just pray. Ne? Yes, Lord, this morning we heard you saying we should become, Lord. First of all, we must become your child, Lord. We're not born a Christian into this world. We must become. And if there's anybody here who's never become a child of God, anybody who's never actually made that step of inviting Christ into your life, I just want to ask you to be bold this morning like a child, raise your hand, and come, let me pray for you. If there's anybody like that who would like to give your heart to Jesus, you're welcome to raise your hand. Right, we won't put you under in a strange situation here. We're here because we love Jesus and because we want to do his will. And the second thing is, this morning Jesus confronted us about our hearts. And we all, this morning while we were praying, he just showed me a beautiful wooden piece of furniture covered with so many layers of paint. And this is the thing that the world paints on us, religion paints on us, other Christians paint on us, the world paints on us, and eventually the beauty of the wood is just disappears, it's not there anymore. And I believe this morning the Lord wants to remove those layers of paint and of these religious things, and he just wants us to become like that spontaneous child, like my grandchild when she sees Rihanna. Just become and have that first love again, and just that excitement and that marveling about who Jesus is and what he is to us. And this morning, if there's any of you who would just like to respond to that, said, yes, Lord, this is what I want to be. I want to become like the child that you said we should be. Will you please raise your hand? Thank you for those hands. Thank you. And Lord, this morning you saw these hands, and I know, Lord, that your Spirit has prepared this for us, this morning for us, and bring us back to square one, as you said, Lord, because that is where we want to be, Lord. Start all over again with that first love, Lord, when we first got to know you and you called us. And we just thank you, Lord, that this is not a heavy thing, Lord, to follow you. We must just follow you like children, which we are. And I just ask, that, Lord, that you'll just bless us today and even remind us today, Lord, as we walk the life of this world and the roads of this earth. Just show us, Lord, where, in which areas we have to become like children again. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, if there's anybody that needs specific prayer, you're welcome to come to the front. There are people that would like to pray.